Hail, brothers and sisters, glory to creators everywhere. In these challenging yet dynamic times, in this complicated and yet clear epoch in which there exists so much promise for the measured yet sure fulfillment of our dreams, I am most pleased to present to you my second annual State of the Church Address. In a time in which our enemies and rivals bicker amongst themselves, I am pleased to say that our World Church of the Creator stands proud and unified. In a time when ever more white people are becoming disillusioned with the corrupt anti-white order currently reigning in Washington, D.C. and other vassal capitals of international Jewry, our World Church of the Creator stands poised to further lift the veil from the eyes of the multitudes and organize these multitudes into a mighty battering ram against that order. Whether we will be successful or not is entirely dependent on the love, the sacrifice, and the determination that we exhibit for this, the most holy cause the world has ever known, creativity. I am happy to say, right here and now, that our World Church of the Creator today stands stronger than ever. In that sense, then, I can say that this has been a great year for us, and that the state of the Church is stronger than it was a year ago at this time. At the same time, being the realistic people we are, all of us must know that we are still far from the goal of assuring and securing the existence of the white race upon the face of this planet. This goal, as codified by our first commandment, remains now as always the foundation upon which all of our creed rests, as well as the rationale behind all of our efforts as a church. Still, it should not be my plan to remind you each year that we have not yet come close to saving our people's existence, as this is self-evident. It does, however, remain my plan and intent to remind you that much more needs to be done and should be done in order to win the victory we all covet. It has been 2.5 years now since the enemies of our people's survival sought to capitalize on the acts of Brother Ben August Smith by beginning their legal barrage against us. However, despite their barrage, the Church remains relatively unfazed as an organization, even if my own time has sometimes been absorbed in defending us from their frivolous attacks. This latter point is all right, however, because, after all, I have the legal training with which to counter their attacks. In fact, went to law school partially because I foresaw that the enemies of our people would use the legal system as a weapon against us at any opportunity they could muster. In other words, the hopes and anticipations of our enemies have essentially been a joke. And in fact, one could perhaps even argue that their legal barrage has actually been more of a benefit than a detriment, and that one, the Church has received more press coverage because of the lawsuits, and press coverage always results in more interest in it. Two, the legal barrage has enabled me to keep my legal training at the forefront of my mind so that when I finally have my law license I am currently suing for, I will have received much praise and know-how to serve my clients and our cause well. And three, when we finally triumph in these cases, it will be tremendously embarrassing for our enemies and tremendously invigorating for the Church and the white racial loyalist movement as a whole. So, yes, while sometimes these 2.5 years seem more like 10, and it is always irritating that there is a cloud of wrongdoing hovering over our Church and I by virtue of the false accusations, we have smiled at the foolhardiness of our enemies, and will be smiling in the end as well. This coming year will in fact witness the demise of at least 3 of the lawsuits against us: the Wounded Nigger suit, the Wounded Jew suit, and the Trademark Infringement suit. All 3 cases are going as well as they could be, and in the first 2 cases, in fact, I guarantee victory very soon without our likely even going to trial. The house of our enemies is falling because it is made of cards, and when it is completely kaput, other projects will move forward unhindered by the current legal barrage. One such project will be my law license applications to other states, which were explicitly put on hold by the bar committees pending a resolution of the false claims against me. Another project includes the building of a meeting hall in which our church will be able to have regular meetings on its own property, so that we are no longer encumbered by various restrictions that have to be accepted when it comes to meeting at public libraries. The third case is a little more problematic, due to inherent flaws in trademark law that the other side is seeking to capitalize on. However, since our case is strong, I believe that we will win in that matter as well, if not at the trial court level, then at the appellate court level. The main drawback of the trademark case is the fact that we have been forced to expend considerable resources on legal fees, since the judge in the case refused to allow me to represent us. Once we have won this case, as I anticipate we will be moving to be reimbursed our attorney fees and have good grounds for that motion being granted. That would be poetic justice indeed. Well, enough of law. That's a dry enough world, and besides, the legal front really has little to do with the church as an organization, since even if every lawsuit were lost, which I guarantee that they won't be, nothing would stop you, my brother and sister, from continuing to rally our white racial comrades to our great cause. Indeed, the lawsuits against us have nothing to do with the activism of our adherents. Absolutely nothing. And so, while the lawsuits must be looked at as important, they are not decisive in any manner to our great goal of assuring and securing the existence of our white race upon the face of this planet. While it is, of course, important that World Headquarters not be successfully assailed by our enemies who wish to steal our finances, whether World Headquarters has finances truly isn't the most vital concern. What is the most vital concern is that each creator, everywhere, does his or her duty. As our founder Ben Clausen intimated in his book Building a Wider and Brighter World, and echoed by Reverend Matt Hayhow in The Struggle some issues ago, the church is such that it truly exists wherever there is a creator, and never has and never will be absolutely dependent on events at World Headquarters. In other words, the legal front is a distraction, but has no bearing at all on the defeat or victory of creativity, for each and every creator carries within his or her heart the key to victory. This said, it is my strong belief that the success or failure of the struggle for our people's existence depends not on what those who are opposed to our great cause do, but instead on what those who believe in our great cause do. It is not the Jew media that prevents us from winning the people, so much as the fact that most of our adherents do not give the extra effort necessary to win the people. It is not the threat of economic blackmail through threats to job security that prevent my good brothers and sisters from actively recruiting others into our holy cause, so much as the necessary effort and risks currently being spared for whatever reason. It is not that the people are brain dead that most truly militates against them from joining with us. It is that not enough effort is being used to convince them, persuade them, and earn from them the allegiance to our cause that we know it deserves. I repeat, it is not the actions of our enemies that stymie our progress, but our own collective lack of effort. If we do more, we will accomplish more. If we do less, we will accomplish less. This is not to say, of course, that the church does not possess determined and active comrades who are spreading our gospel with fervency. Not at all. There are many creators who have made me quite proud. You know who you are, and your zeal is an inspiration. However, there are still creators whose only action for creativity consists of paying what is, after all, easy on the pocket yearly membership dues. This, however, is only the beginning of commitment to creativity. Instead, aggressive advocacy of creativity to white people everywhere is what must be done by creators everywhere. A field can only bear fruit if the seeds have been sown, but too many fields have thus far been allowed to lie fallow. I have discovered, in fact, one of the most basic problems that our church, and indeed all other white racial loyalist organizations, suffer from. It came to me the other night while I was tending to some of the church mail. It is this. Due to the incessant nature of the Jewish propaganda and the realization and ample evidence that many of our people have swallowed at hook, line, and sinker, many white racial loyalists have become antisocial and thus unwittingly stymie their own efforts. Antisocial? Bashful? And practically afraid to deal with our currently befuddled white racial comrades on a one-on-one basis. Am I wrong in this discovery? I think not. Just think about it. For example, what prevents you, my brother or sister, from calling someone on the phone right now and expressing your love for your white race and belief in the World Church of the Creator? Is it not the assumption that the person on the other end of the line will voice strong disagreement? Is it not your unwillingness to deal with others who disagree? Is it not your bashfulness? Is it not your unwillingness to socialize? In this world in which so much is made of social acceptance, are you wary of zestfully proclaiming your allegiance to your white race, for such an allegiance is not considered acceptable in the minds of the public, a public that has, of course, been completely duped and manipulated by those who today have the power to do so? Let us consider this further. Is such a reluctance to socialize with our people something that the enemies of our people created, or something that we, unfortunately, manufactured on our own? Has our transmutation from social animals, as Ben Clausen made clear that we are, to antisocial animals, been the work of anyone but ourselves? Sure, it is true that the Jewish domination of the thought processes of the masses has led many of us to be incredibly irritated with those who have swallowed the false propaganda. However, it is us who have allowed the Jews' efforts to become even more successful by virtue of our self-paralysis. Our reluctance to speak to those we hope to win on the telephone, at the malls, on the buses, in the colleges, and a thousand other places is a ditch of our own digging, a ditch which can easily become a grave, our people's grave. Creativity to others with every bit of the fervor of a Christian or Muslim zealot, we will lose. Unless we prove to the world that we believe in the salvation of our white race with every bit as much fiber of our being as does the adherence of the other causes that are in existence, we will lose. Unless we on a daily basis use our own individual creativity to arouse the sleeping white giant from its slumber, the slumber of our people will become a slumber from which they will never awake. Is soothing our own bashfulness worth such a price? Is the concern about what others may think worth consigning our race to oblivion? Can we afford to write off the people we seek to win for such reasons, or for any reason, in fact? The answer is a resounding no, of course. Not only must we have the fanaticism of the other religions, but we must have more of it. Not only must we view the quality of our own lives as dependent on what we make of ourselves, but we must view the quality of our people's future as being dependent on what we do. The other religions have incredible financial power and tradition behind them. Therefore, their continued ensnarement of the thinking of our white race is a self-perpetuating process, regardless of the silliness of those myth-based religions. With us, however, who are going against the grain, we must necessarily work even harder. I want to see far more of this work from creators across the globe. As I said earlier, some of you work very hard and do your duty fully. Most of you, however, do not. Some rely on yours truly way too much. Others are so busy promoting creativity that I only hear through the grapevine of your exploits. And let me say right now that these unsung heroes are the cream of our crop. The key, as always, is action, action, and more action. An action aimed at winning ever new adherents to our cause. Every creator should be actively recruiting new adherents. And in that sense, no creator should ever be isolated by any stretch of the imagination. Because there is always the next door neighbor, the family member, the classmate, or 100 others in the immediate vicinity of their lives to recruit. The motto must be, where there is one, there must be two. Where there is two, there must be four. In this way, every creator must one day have his own local congregation that has its own meetings, its own distribution of literature, and its own street demonstrations, its own businesses, and yes, even its own buildings one day. As our great founder Ben Clausen said over 17 years ago, quote, just as any Christian preacher can take the Jewish Christian Bible and start his own church and build his following and congregation to whatever size he has the energy and ability to accomplish, so too can any creator build a church and congregation to any size he aspires, with or without the help of our headquarters. and I strongly urge that every creator aspire to do just that, unquote. We must reject, now and forevermore, the notion that we cannot win this war. This notion, as false as it is perverse, is a notion originating with none other than those deliberately trying to hasten the day in which no more white babies are born. These enemies of our white people, the Jews and their lackeys, enjoy feeding the white racial loyalist movement with such defeatist notions, for they well know that if they can convince an army, the white race, that it is defeated before the war really has even begun, that army's defeatist attitude will become almost certainly a self-fulfilling prophecy. Hence our enemies smugly claim that America will irreversibly become a majority mud race land, that the purification of America and the other lands in which white people live will never happen, and the like. They top it all off with the notion that we should all just swallow the sickness of racial integration because it really tastes good and life is too short to spend such energy on hate. The reality, however, now and forevermore, is that life, the lives of our white people, is too precious to be snuffed out by the vicious band of Jew parasites who truly, by their maniacal mission to enslave the world, have revealed themselves to be the true haters of all that which is just and beautiful in this world. Thus the smug lie of the Jew must be ground into dust, and the spider web this parasite has weaved around the attitudes of our people must be torn asunder. You know what they say, my brothers and sisters? They say that imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Well, I can say that I get flattered quite a bit. Many praise me, and I appreciate that. This is neither my focus or ambition, though, for what I really need is not flattery, and nor even appreciation, but imitation of my actions. Far more important to me than my being praised is our moving forward to victory. Give me a statue when we have won, but not before. Mimic what I do, however, and I will consider that the highest form of praise. Can you imagine how powerful our church would be if creators everywhere were having public meetings, street demonstrations, and were dangling the press from their fingers, as one could say that I do? How about multiplying the publicity generated by my efforts here in Illinois by 50 states and over 20 countries abroad? How about a situation in which our creativity ministers are bringing the great news of creativity to their local community each and every week, if not day, as I do here in Central Illinois? Would not our church absolutely capture the attention and grudging admiration and respect of far more of our white people? And is this not a precursor to winning them for our great cause? As you well know, I say these things not to brag. In fact, I have just begun my work. I have just begun to fight, and our foes will have far more to whine about in the future as a result of my living and breathing for creativity. No, I say these things because we need more, and I am happy to take great pride in the idea that one day, perhaps very soon, there will be creators who are quite anxious to best me in the field of promotion of our cause to the people. I take great hope and great pride in the idea that the media will mention me less and my brethren proselytizing more. No cause in history has triumphed based on the words of one man alone, but have triumphed instead because there were hundreds or even thousands of activists whose efforts permeated every nook and cranny of the land. What happened in Germany 70 years ago is no exception, but is in fact an excellent example. One man's name may stand out, but the word was spread by many. The people who manned the telephones, who fought with their fists in the streets, who gave the speeches, who proclaimed their allegiance and devotion through word and deed, these adherents too won the day. If one wants to become an excellent rifleman, study the techniques of one who is. If one wants to become an excellent musician or composer, study the musical techniques of an excellent musician or the compositions of an excellent composer. The wheel, in fact, need not be reinvented when it comes to building a mass movement, for all the steps towards success are there, provided that they are followed. History is indeed not merely an account of the past, but can be a guidebook for the future in which, while some is discarded, much is learned and can and should be utilized. Since the National Socialist attainment of power occurred legally, as we too desire and are committed to achieving as well, this is probably the best guide, even if their odds were considerably better than our own, since the Jews were far less powerful and there were far fewer muds in Germany than in America today. This is so because the psychology of the masses has not changed. Every time our foes hold an anti-racist seminar, creators must be there to debate these corruptors. Every time there is a Jewish holiday, creators must distribute literature and talk to people personally about the evil Jewish parasites. Every time any event happens that captures the attention of the people, such as September 11th, creators must immediately utilize the situation to the advancement of the church and our holy cause. In this way, not only does our cause become more understandable to the masses, but on every issue that those who relay to them is important, the masses will sure enough realize that we have a practical and clear tactic to counter whatever the particular problem may be. Hence will the masses come to put their trust and their faith in us, that we are not simply espousing theory, but also practical changes that can and will improve their lives. The events of September 11th presents perhaps the most telling and instructive example. A number of creators have indeed been aggressive in alerting the masses as to why those tragic events happened. Many creators, however, have not, and this is unfortunate. Simply pointing out to people that 4,000 people died because Israel uses America as a human shield is a real eye-opener. Simply pointing out that September 11th wouldn't have happened if the corrupt traitors in Washington, D.C. didn't bankroll the terrorist state of Israel and didn't allow Arabs into the country in the first place, goes a long way towards denuding them of the veil of falsehood that the controlled press has covered their faces with. A flyer being passed out showing a picture of the burning World Trade Center buildings with a caption reading, "Friendship with Israel leads to this," is worth a thousand other words. Perhaps never before has it potentially become so clear to the people that we are right when we say that this lousy government has put the white American people in harm's way. As the Jewish occupational government itself makes clear over and over, 19 Islamic extremists, who at least partially hate America because of America's friendship with Israel, caused the death of thousands. It isn't illogical or hard, therefore, to argue that that same government is responsible for the terrorism through its policies, and further, that the Jews, too, are responsible through their manipulation of the government that so crassly and sickeningly used 4,000 Americans as cannon fodder. In other words, the American government is so determined to coddle the Jews that it is willing to expend thousands of lives to arm Israel in its genocidal war against the Palestinians. You better believe that this fact can, will, and does make the people anti-Jog and anti-Jew instantly. From being perceived as so-called haters, the man or woman educated and won to the truth on this subject suddenly realizes that we are potential saviors. It is we of the World Church of the Creator who will put an end to the violence on American soil once and for all, while the Jewish occupational government will merely continue to put the people's lives in danger so that the Israeli mosquito can continue to suck the blood from the arm of the American host. The message could hardly be more powerful. One thing I want is for every minister to obtain a simple item called a fax machine. And the next time there is anything going on in the world in which our church has an opinion to contribute, he should fax a news release to the local press stating what we think of the event. While there is no guarantee that the press will run a story, including our take on the event, like creativity in general, press releases are like seeds. The more you plant, the more seeds will sprout. I have faxed the media 133 press releases in 3 years. About half of them either resulted or contributed to press coverage for us. While one can argue that this is so because I am Pontifex Maximus, or otherwise publicly more noteworthy, is the fact that we actually receive more press coverage in those areas previously untouched by creativity. For example, the meeting in York has generated extraordinary news, including dozens of newspaper articles, letters to the editor, television footage, and numerous mention by National Public Radio. A great wave of enthusiasm is generated in the process. If every minister begins to replicate this, the amount of attention brought to creativity will dramatically increase, and our numbers will grow accordingly. Now, some of what I have just concluded saying applies most fully to those who do not envision themselves making the pilgrimage to Illinois as part of our grand consolidation effort. As I discussed in the September issue of The Struggle, some consolidation of our membership in Central Illinois is absolutely vital if we are to win our great struggle. Thus far, the going has been slow. This has been due to two factors: lack of financial resources to make such a move, and roots in other communities that are hard to break. The first point we are vigorously beginning to tackle. As indicated in the December issue of The Struggle, the Edgefield Primary Group has initiated a gallant campaign to assure that all those who wish to make this great pilgrimage and history in the process have the financial means to do so. Let me say at this time, as a matter of fact, that if you, my brother or sister, are determined to make the pilgrimage to Central Illinois, but lack the financial means, write World Headquarters today, and World Headquarters will shortly be providing you with financial means. For those of you who can't make the pilgrimage because of roots in your community that cannot be broken, support the relocation fund to help those who can. Some of you can make the pilgrimage to Central Illinois today. Some of you can only come next year. Some of you may never come. In any case, creativity must be fervently promoted and organized wherever you are, and it must be your resolve that the advancement of the church begins with your own efforts. I sense that the 29th year of creativity is going to be one of the most decisive in our history. The world is poised for massive change, and most of this change will be positive for us. We must win the propaganda war, and we must be more organized. Our ministers must create, nurture, and further their congregations. The issue must be forced at all times. In every community, there are unique possibilities that can be taken advantage of to gain new members and promote the white racial loyalist message in a very public way. More than anything, through the persistent, positive, and ambitious activism of you, my brothers and sisters, we must become notorious throughout the world to the point where no person, large or small, can say that he does not know of the World Church of the Creator and our creativity religion. If this yardstick is fixed within your minds, the specific means to achieve this will flow easily. I wish to at this time solicit those of you who feel that you are leadership potential to contact me and inform me as such, with a view towards perhaps providing you with a position of leadership on a geographical basis, as indicated in the Creator Membership Manual. Advice can and will be forthcoming to assist your efforts. If you are unswerving in your commitment, have proven yourself, are aggressive and confident, and are a leader among men who is worthy of respect and obedience, then contact me directly. The ability of those opposed to our great cause to use economic terrorism, the threat and practice of firing us from our employment due to our religious activism, is, of course, a reality. It is a reality that partially motivated me to go to law school in the first place, so that I could help stop such terrorism. It is true that numerous attorneys are afraid to even bring lawsuits on behalf of our Creator brothers and sisters because of perceived fears to their much-protected reputations. While these same attorneys don't seem to hesitate much to represent a child rapist or a nigger murderer, often, way too often, they will shun representing a creator penalized by his employer in direct violation of the laws of the land, who merely exercised his option to spread his religion. However, I say today that the day will come when no employer anywhere would dare fire a creator from their employment for being a crusader for his religion. There are creators in law school and pre-law right now to help make this a reality one day. All it takes is a few lawsuits to send the message that we will not be forced to sacrifice our religious liberties in order to feed ourselves and our families. How the Jews and their white traitor lackeys love to have all of us so busy trying to eke out a living that we lack the time, energy, and even willingness to do what we must to take back our land. How the Jews and their white traitor lackeys hope that the threat of economic terrorism will forever cow our creator brethren from doing what absolutely must be done, bring creativity to the multitudes. Even if momentarily, the possibility exists of a negative personal consequence, if you strive to make creativity notorious in your area, the risk must be taken. Even if you may risk the rebuke of family, friends, and co-workers, the risk must be taken if our people are to live. There is no magical force that will independently awaken our white race from its heavy slumber, and there will be no second chance for our white race if it loses this, the greatest challenge to its existence in history. Let us take a brief pause. And yet, the point must be made that the risk is often strongly exaggerated in one's mind. It is uncommon that one of our members is fired from his employment because of his affiliation with the church, even in those areas where their names have been listed in the local newspaper, etc. It can be said, though, that the more we drive to move creativity forward, the more risk may materialize. This is, however, the price of ensuring a future for our children. If we lack the will to seize a future for our people will be destroyed. If, on the other hand, we have the will, the result of our sacrifice will be a glorious new dawn in which our people will survive and thrive forever. If the survival of our people is worthwhile, as we know it is, whatever sacrifices must be made within the framework of our world church of the Creator must be done. As I begin to conclude this, my second annual State of the Church address, I beckon all of you to show the initiative, the love, and the will to drive creativity forward through thick and thin. I want to hear of public meetings all over the world in which I am not the speaker or the organizer. I want to see more newspaper articles generated completely independent of me. I want strong state chapters to form. I want creator businesses to begin and help to make creators no longer dependent on low wages and whims of hostile employers. I want creators going door to door, proselytizing. I want creators calling our white people on the phone, urging them to support the church. I want public access television stations across the country utilized by putting the show produced by World Headquarters White Revolution on the air. I want every pro-diversity meeting of our sick opponents to be crashed by creators of steeled will. I want our literature to absolutely saturate the world. If someone has received our literature before, hit them again. I want creators flooding their local newspapers with letters to the editor. I want creators to go to their local libraries and request strongly that our holy books be added to their shelves. I want more face-to-face social contact between creators so that a strong esprit de corps may be formed, as I realize that only through strong social interaction and cooperation can we move the church forward to victory. The state of the church is good, and that we are still here and stronger than ever before. The state of the church is lacking, and that much, much more needs to be done. Surviving as a church isn't enough. Only total, unmitigated victory is. May all of us issue this proclamation for the coming year. The Jew is through in 2002, and make sure that we make it a reality. Rahala!